This is tape one, side two of an interview with Laura Kiesler.
Mm-hmm.
You were saying that you have an old china cabinet that belonged to your mother.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that maybe a few pieces in there was hers, you know.
You think your family would have bought furniture, or did anybody in the family have woodworking ability?
My brother, the one that finished down there agriculture work, he had a ability at woodwork. But he didn't do too much of it, you know. Not for us, you know, I mean. We just had this, you know, iron beds was back very popular at that time, you know, and different iron beds and wood beds, and we all had beds.
Said your mother did all sorts of sewing, particularly clothes.
Sewed, yeah.
Did she do types of fine needle work of any kind?
No, more she could do some embroidery, and I remember that. I don't think she needed or nothing like that. Mostly she did embroidery.
Quilts?
Quilts, oh yes. We quilted, I remember that.
Do you have to do much of that?
Well, I couldn't do too much of it then, but I did learn how to do it. I can still do it now. We've done some quilting work down here in a Run Better Club of the Design Community Senior Citizens.
Does any of your family still have some of the old quilts?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you'll let me see one later. Did your mother do her quilting at home, or were there quilting bees?
She quilted it. She pieced it at home. Pieced it, put it together at home, and then put it up, and then quilted it at home.
Did the women in the area get together for sewing parties at all?
Well, for quilting parties, I remember they used to have that sometime. Quilting, you know, a different woman would come in and quilt. But
did it also serve as a chance to catch up on community gossip, I suspect?
Yeah, that was a good way to do it.
Did you learn many secrets by listening in?
No, I didn't know. I was too young then. I was out playing or something. Yeah.
One of my aunts said she used to hide under the table. She learned all sorts of things.
They didn't do a lot of out talking among younger. Well, you was a child until you were 12 or 13 years, maybe older than that. So you didn't get much like that listening, because you always knew to get on out and get to your own work, what you're going to do, play or do something, get outside.
Well, it sounds like your family would have had a fairly optimistic view on life. They were prospering, things were going well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did they talk or complain much about hard times or difficulties?
No, that's when my dad kind of quit farming, like, you know, the farming, because things went down and everything was so cheap, you couldn't get nothing out of it too much. He just did a portion of what he had done before.
Do you remember,
mostly gardening.
Do you remember about when that happened?
It was back in the 20s.
Did any of your brothers, uncles, cousins serve in the First World War?
No, not the first one. Out of those three boys, neither one of them went to. No, the youngest one. Yeah, he went in for a while or something. He got hurt and he came back out, and he didn't. You know. He didn't stay in, but I don't think a couple of years, a year or something like that.
Anybody else around you knew who was in the First World War?
Around me or here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I had a brother-in-law that was in, and then, some of the neighbors' sons was in, the Rileys.
Did they go to Europe?
I don't know where they went to. They was in that, what was that, the Second World War.
Oh, the Second War. Second or the First?
Second.
What about the First War?
First War. They was in the first. That was the first one.
Apparently they didn't talk much about it.
Yeah. I remember when the war broke and they came home. I was old enough to remember that, when they came out of the war.
But you didn't hear stories from them later on about being in Europe?
No, I wasn't around talking with them too much about that. Some of them talked about their foxholes and different things, but very little I know about that. Very little. Some got killed over there.
We were talking earlier about the Holly Springs Church. Mm-hmm. How often did you have services?
Once a month. We had Sunday school each Sunday, but we had service once a month.
Did adults go to Sunday school?
Yes.
So everybody went?
Anybody that was, you know, Christians or something like that, they went to Sunday school.
When you had services once a month, how long would they last?
Oh, they lasted for a while because we'd go into Sunday school and have Sunday school, and then we would go in the church services. So it would be about, I guess, 1 o'clock maybe when we get up.
So lunch was kind of late those days.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any of the ministers from your church when you were young and who they were?
Mm-hmm. I remember some of them. I remember Reverend Collins, Reverend McDowell, and Reverend Reed, and Reverend Owens, Reverend Walker, down to our pastor now, Reverend Hill.
Do you remember the first names of any of these ministers?
Yeah, Reverend, Reverend Owens was Willard Owens. Reverend McDowell was J.C. McDowell. Some of them is at Clemson now.
Uh-huh.
And, well, that must be the water man, I think. Then, Curtis, he's still with us.
What about Reed? Do you remember his name?
Reed. L.B. Reed.
Did these ministers, I assume, have churches, the other churches, the other Sundays of the month?
I think it's, yeah, other places, other churches. You know, most churches in this had services maybe about once a month. Some of the bigger churches in the city had it twice a month. That was the most. And then when we came up to twice a month, well, we stayed there for a few years, and then we jumped, and we are full-time now. One minister doing full-time, pastoring full-time.
Most churches back then couldn't pay their ministers very much. If the minister came in, would he stay in the community?
Stay in the community.
Somebody would.
Sometimes he would come on Friday evening and stay through until Monday morning or either Sunday evening.
Would different families take him in?
Take him in and keep him that time.
Well, you must have done some of that since you had a guest bedroom.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Those that had guest bedroom would come. He would come and stay.
Did you have to be on particularly good behavior when the preacher was visiting?
Yes. I knew better. I knew better.
How did these ministers make a living?
That one wouldn't know. Some of them, I guess, they probably farmed or done the same thing my dad did or something like that. They didn't have a job.
Do you have any idea what kind of training that had?
Well, just common. None of them was really professional.
No special preacher training.
Yeah. A lot now down to the lower now. They finished in high school and went to a ministerial course, taking ministerial course and whatnot like that.
You mentioned a Reverend Walker. Was he one of your kinfolk?
No. He was from the upper part of Westminster.
Did any of your ministers, as far as you know, get any training over at Seneca Junior College?
I don't believe. McDowell may have. But I don't remember none of the others because we're mostly from this association in the lower. Called the Rocky River Association.
So not too many people from around here would have gone up to Seneca.
Not too many. I have a couple of cousins that went up there. They had a little junior college there. They went there and finished that from here. They went up there and stayed and finished it.
Do you remember what they studied? What
no,
courses, what
programs? No, not normally.
Did any of the neighbors or your family go down to Benedict or Allen? Claflin?
No, my nephews, they all went right, he and my Larkin had three sons, and all of them went to Orangeburg State College. They finished there. And I had some friends that went to Benedict College, but, and Morris College, but most of them wasn't other family. They mostly, my family, most of them went to State College, Orangeburg State College. They went
down. Well, that was a little bit later on by the
yeah,
time
later
your
on,
nephews
yeah.
came along.
Yeah.
They probably would have been, what, about the 40s?
Uh-huh.
Besides your services at your church, did your family go to camp meetings?
Yes. They had this camp meeting once a year.
Where were they held?
They was held, one was held up at Bethel Grove up near Seneca, up in that area. It was a church that had it once a year. I can remember from childhood going there, I'd go with my mother. She had an aunt that lived nearby, and we'd go up and spend that weekend with her and go to that Saturday and Sunday to the camp meeting.
What types of places would there be there to stay?
Well, unless you had some peoples, you know, or was in a, had a car or something like that, or had some peoples close by, you couldn't stay, you know.
You'd have to go back and
yeah,
forth.
Yeah, uh-huh.
What all would happen at the camp meetings?
They had services as usual of a, like a devotional services, you know, and testifying and all of that, you know. Saying and praying and preaching.
Did these services go on off and on during the day? Would there be several services? A
couple of services within the day. One that morning, one that afternoon, and the day before, if they'd have one beginning.
Dinner on the grounds?
Dinner on the grounds, yeah.
Would each person bring their own, or would
yeah.
it all be spread out for everybody?
Uh-huh. Well, we went to my aunt's, my mother would cook a lot of stuff and they'd take out there.
Would you eat just what you had taken or would it all be spread out for everybody to share?
With us, it was spread out for most people to share. And most families knew that their family come there, so they would try to prepare enough for that family that's coming in there, beside the family that was there.
Your family were Baptist. Did other people besides Baptists go to these
yes.
camp meetings?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it was for all
denominations?
Oh,
yes. And then they'd have, besides that, they would have the down coming down to the, after I got, wasn't grown in my teens, I know that they, so many people came until what they would did, they would put up booths and they would sell stuff there, like hot dogs and chicken sandwich, something like that, you know. Because there were so many people until they couldn't feed them.
About how many people do you think might have been at one of these
oh,
camp
my
meetings?
Goodness, I'm telling you, they couldn't get in there in the church, you know. They just would meet different people there and talk, you know, get under the shade trees and sit and talk or something, bring your chairs and whatnot.
Would the services be outdoors then?
No, it was inside. You could hear them real well, though.
But not everybody would be able to get into the church.
Not at all. Uh-uh.
What time of the year would these be done?
In the fall of the year, first fall, not in the winter, in the first of the fall of the year.
After harvest?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So probably about...
They still have them some places. They have them in Central up here and Pendleton.
Where in Pendleton?
At the Bethel Church down there, you know, they used to have them.
Was that one of the old-timey sites for camp meetings too?
No, because they didn't... That's a new... church they built there. They moved. That church used to be right down in Pendleton. Mm-hmm. It was a wood church. And so after it got so old and began to need some work of a new church built, they didn't build back there right in Pendleton. They built down kind of on the Pendleton road going to Clemson.
Well, did that old church have camp meetings?
That was the one that had the camp meetings mostly, yeah.
Would there be any special music at the camp meetings?
Yes, quartet singing, people from all around that sing, you know, they would be there. These quartet groups. And they would just have a good time. You just hear them outside.
Did, say, Bethel Grove or Bethel in Pendleton, did they have pianos or organs?
They had organs, and some had pianos.
The old pump organ?
Yeah.
And what about your own church?
We had organ and piano.
Did you enjoy going to these camp meetings when you were
there? Oh, yes, I loved them. I would miss them, even after I got up in my teenage. So you'd meet all of the young people that you knew there, you know, and you just have a big time, you and your boyfriends.
So it wasn't only a religious experience.
Oh, no, it wasn't all together.
It sounds like that may have been the biggest event in terms of numbers of people that you might go to during a year.
Yeah, it would be. At home, at our churches, we would have days that we call homecoming. And that's if anybody's off, it's away, they would try to come home during that time, you know, the family.
Do you think the camp meetings would have had as many as 1,000 or so people there?
I have imagined then it did back then. But people on the end, you know, people didn't care for all of that crowd, and it's hot, you're outside, and in all the dust and everything, you know. And I finally quit going myself. I don't attend anymore. Because it was just too hot, you know, to get out there and fight with that heat and everything, all of those hours that you was there.
Did the camp meetings usually have several different preachers who would talk?
Yes. Yeah, different ones, yeah. But, you know, I mean, at this time in our world, the younger people was there then. I didn't know a lot of them then. But, you see, the older people, I knew them. And so it wasn't too many of them then. They was canned out, and then the young people was in. So I got tired of that. I don't like a lot of crowd, not too big a crowd now.
Well, there was also, I understand, down in Anderson, what was called the Colored Singing Convention.
Yes.
Did you ever go down for that?
Yeah, we've had that at our church, too.
So the people who would sing the convention would travel around to different churches?
Different churches. They still have that.
You went to some of their things in Anderson, though,
yes,
too.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Where did they have the conventions down there?
Well, they did have it once at the recreation place down there, you know. And then they have it at some of the bigger churches down there.
Did any of your family belong to the singing convention?
No, not that. Not the one they had there, because we used to do the, I have been to the, and sang at the, we call it the Do-Re-Mi.
Mm-hmm. What was that?
That was the singing convention, you know. It mostly went through Methodist groups, you know, churches. But I love that, you know, you sing it Do-Re-Mi, you know, you sing your Do-Re-Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do, and then you go back and you say your words, you know. You got to know the notes to do that. That's the singing convention. They still do that.
You said that you were talking about the Methodist group. Was the singing convention down in Anderson predominantly Baptist or Methodist or everybody?
Well, when I went down there, I mean, it was just a singing convention, like, kind of combined. But I haven't been lately, but I think it goes mostly to me. That Methodist church is in choir and singing. They usually still have it. So it mostly runs between their churches now. But they'll go to any church. They're not, you know, selfish about having it. They'll go to any church that wants them.
What about, say, now, 1980s, 1990s, do the Methodist, Baptist, others get together very often? Or
Very good.
Do they meet together?
Yeah, no, not particular business meeting or something like that, but just groups or something of the different churches. Because that's what our senior, that's what our... Senior Citizen, it's a group. It's a club, Senior Citizen Club. We have that right here in the community, and different ones, white and black, go together down here at Zion Church down here. We meet together, have lunch together and all that stuff.
I believe you said that when you were growing up, your schoolhouse was right by the church.
Yeah, it was a church, a New Light Church was right there.
Was it actually on the church land?
Well, it was actually, yes, in that, right, because near the cemetery is built down now since they tore the church down. And the New Light Church out here and Hot Spring Church down there, both of them are Baptist churches. And they, the churches had gone bad. You know, I mean, you had to build another church or renovate the one you had once. And so a lot of the, as I said, a lot of the farmers that used to work, you know, they went away, you know, after they left all these sharecropping farms. Well, they went away. So therefore, we went together. The New Light and the Holly Spring Church went together. And that's what brought the name down to New Holly Light Church, mm-hmm. Baptist Church, because we gave the church both names from each church.
Did the county pay the school teachers when you were coming along? Or did your family have to pay anything for you to go to school?
I think the county paid it. Because I think that, you know, it was mostly paid from taxes and whatnot like that, you know. It was such a small bit.
What about school books? Did you have to buy those?
You had to buy your own books.
Could you use those your brothers and sisters
yes.
had?
Yes, uh-huh.
Where would you go to buy school books?
Well, they had a bookstore in Allison.
Uh-huh.
And I just remember about Pendleton, but I know they had one in Allison. And then they had a bookmobile that come around with books.
Selling them.
Uh-huh.
Would there have been any type of library mobile like that? They would come around with traveling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They call them bookmobile or something. They come around, you know.
But they would also have books you could check out to read.
Have books that you could check out to read, yeah.
What types of stuff did you like to read when you were a girl?
Me? I read a lot. I liked stories, you know. Different books with stories in them. And
fictional stories.
Yeah. Love stories.
That's what my grandmother used to call them. Were they all about white people?
Well, I have read some that, you know, that was a writer was white, but not many though, not then. Most all of them, they had some.
Did that seem strange to you, reading love stories and
it
other just about white people?
It didn't bother me. I mean, you know, just it.
In school, did you have any black authors that you read?
Yes, something like Booker T. Washington and different ones we studied, you know, and probably would come up during this studying. And
do you remember any others? Did you talk about Sojourner Truth or Harriet Tubman?
Harriet Tubman. I used to like to read about her. And
Frederick Douglass.
McLeod Bethune. Yeah, I liked those. I liked the writers of those. I was interested in them.
Did you have books by these people, or did your teachers just talk about them? Or
no, I have read books of them, you know.
Back when you were in school?
Yeah, when I was in school.
Now, was that something you did on your own, or was that part
my
of the
own,
school?
My own. But it would, you know, sometimes we would have, you know, during our test or something like that, but something would come up about them during that, and historical. Because I've studied a lot of that, historical.
Did your school teachers talk very much in your history classes about slavery?
No. Not too much.
What about your parents? Did you, from your parents and grandparents, hear old stories?
They have talked of slavery that they knew of. They wasn't too much, they came, as I said, must have come on the ending of slavery, like, you know, when they got up, you know, but their parents was in, you know, probably in slavery.
What types of things did you hear from them?
Well, how it was and how they had to live and how they had to do, you know, different things like
tell
that.
Tell us,
you know?
How they have to live.
Well, they had to do what their boss said, you know, their slavery boss said, you know. They had to work when they didn't feel like, you know, they had to go out and work, you know, all day and go back and get up and go back and work all day. And they didn't get anything, only if they got maybe a little meal of flour or something like that, you know, just to kind of have a portion of food in the house, you know, or something like that. If they had a large family, they suffered. Because they was hungry.
Were they able pretty much to keep their families together?
Not hard, not much. I heard my mother said they, you know, as soon as the boys got up some age size, you know, they went away. Taking off and went away. And I think that's what brought it to pass, you know, slavery, because they didn't have nobody to work for them. You know, people got out on their own after they couldn't do no progress, you know, working like that. Because just a few of them. Some of them didn't. Some of them stayed there and just taking all that.
But when they were slaves, like you said, they had to work long and hard.
Yeah.
Were they, did your family talk about being beaten?
Oh, they didn't. Not my family, not my dad. No.
I mean, your father wouldn't have been beaten, but no. Did they tell you stories about that from
your... I've heard them tell stories about how they have seen people, you know, beat people up and all like that.
Do you remember any of those stories?
No, I've read about some since then, you know, but and seen the pictures of them and things like that.
Telling us what your own emotional reaction is as we're talking about slavery.
Well, I just, my reaction about it, I mean, it a lot of it grew up in the children, you know, and they really still have that grudge about being their parents, foreparents being in slavery, something like that. But I never held a grudge. I just figured that, you know, that the people just was ignorant. They didn't know no better. To do things like that, they wasn't a God-fearing person at all.
Some of them thought they were.
They thought they was God. Yeah, but I mean, as I came up, you know, I came up with the thoughts that they just didn't know any better. And but some of them still have that in. Some of the older parents, something grew into them. But I mean. It's part because I went to school. See, when I was young, when we went away that those few years, 3 years in Pittsburgh, and stayed those 3 years, I went to school, and it wasn't no segregation up there. You know, I mean, everybody went to school together and all. So I mean, that got all of that away from me. You know, and when I came back home, I felt like I was just out there, just with everybody else. You know, and I never called myself aside from nobody else. And I always got along with everybody, you know. We never had no problem. In fact, this community have never had no problems. We joined land with white over here, and we never was raised up in the community and their families, and we're still friends. I mean,
when you were a child, would you and any of the white kids play together?
Well, normally if I was there or something like that, you know, around, we had some that lived around, you know. It was pretty close, you know. Their parents had pretty close, and they were raised up in the community. And like I said, my mother went there. If I went with her, the children was there, and I would play with them, you know. And
so it'd be just sort of when opportunity arose and not something you would regularly do?
No, not just go visit or something like that. But my aunt, she stayed down there down here, and they was working on the bonnets. Farm down there. They didn't own it, but they was working as a sharecropper. Well, he had told me since then, he said he just loved my aunt. He would go there and he said it wasn't many meals that her children ate that he didn't eat with them, you know, and he just played with them all the time. They came up together. He would always ask me about them and where they was now. But a lot of them, it didn't bother a lot of them, you know. They just went on just like it was all right, but maybe their parents and things from slavery, they still held it, you know, that they was slavery, they was God, you know. Mm-hmm. But when I came along, I knew it was God, and I didn't think nobody was above him, so I just came along with that, you know. Love everybody.
So it sounds as if you're telling me that there weren't any big problems between white and black people around where you live.
Not in this community, like they'd have little riots and whatnot, and they didn't allow them to do this and didn't allow them, but in this community, we never had nothing like that.
Where else in this general area did you hear about that happening, where there would be riots or
in different places like Pimpton, mostly over into Georgia, you know, and those small places over there.
Do you remember, either while you were young or hearing about before you were born, any particular incidents in this area?
Not in this area.
Did you ever know about anybody in this whole area being lynched?
No, I've never heard of none of the people in this area being lynched. But it's of the different Now, you know, maybe from here, I've heard my dad and those talk about somebody was lynched.
One of the incidents that occurred, not too terribly far away, I guess about 20 miles, in 1930, Al Green was lynched in Walhalla. Do you remember about that occurring?
Yeah, a little bit. That's up, you know, Walhalla and Salem up in that way, and mountains up in there. We never went up that way.
I imagine when something like that happened, there was a lot of talk around about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about the Klan? Had that ever been active in this area?
Not in this area. It was in some areas, you know, around, but not in this area.
What about lower down in Anderson
County? In the lower part of Anderson, they had a lot of that Klan meeting and whatnot. They didn't do no rioting or nothing like that, but they had it though.
What period of time are we talking about with the Klan down there?
Well, different times, like the peoples was leaving. They had bigger farms down that way than what we have in this area mm-hmm. around up here.
Owning their own land,
owning their own lands, and had a lot of people working there, you know, and